One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Gab Wireless. Gab exists to give parents the best of both worlds, a phone with everything a kid needs and none of the stuff they don't. Go to gabwireless.com and use promo code Dustin or follow the link in the episode description to get $10 off an upcoming order. Gab Wireless, safe phones for kids. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the east wall of our daughter's bedroom slash our recording studio is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hello.
Hello everybody. Welcome to our little podcast that could, and welcome to episode 3 of February.
February is for fighting.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it into like more of like a war. We're joined here by our very special cat. Donut Hole. We do not have a guest because today we were thinking, I was like, oh gosh, who do we ask? What type of things are we going to talk about? We have the married couple at top. We have a licensed marriage and family therapist next week. So keep sending your questions. What aspect? And I was thinking about how we talked so much about couples fighting and what we really needed
the last
2 weeks and next week. And what we really need to dive into is children fighting. Both you with them and them with each other. Now, let me preface by saying this. We are not an advice podcast. We're intentionally a bad advice podcast when people ask for advice, bad marriage advice, bad parenting advice. This is where we thrive. But we are memoir-ish. All we can share is our experience. We like to have a good time. Mm-hmm. We like to laugh a little bit here. We like to laugh at our problems, and but also, you know, dig into the issues as needed. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to tell you how to deal with this, but just share our specific story. So so that's what we're here to talk about: kids fighting. You know, on all, again, you with them with each other, some with school. We're going to talk about our experience as children and our respective families. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like in the Nickerson household right now. Now, before we do that, I just want to give a special thank you to all of our patrons. If you guys are at all interested in giving a little more to the podcast and getting a little more from the podcast, go to patreon.com/don't make me come back there where you get some extra stuff and more of what's coming real soon. Very, very excited to launch all that to you very soon. So thank you for those of you who are already on that, and thank you for those that you're considering. Also, any of those who took the time to watch my debut comedy special, Overwhelmed, which came out in November, but I'm still happy to promote. I would love you guys to go and do that. If you guys go to, it's available on Amazon Prime Video. It's also on a website called Gumroad that you can go watch. If you want to check it out there, it is called Overwhelmed. We filmed it, in the midst of a pandemic. We filmed it in September. I posted a little bit about this week, and I just thought that you guys would at all, if any of you guys were interested in knowing the history of where that came, really, at the beginning of the year, we thought was going to record any special. That was a goal for 2020. And then the world decided it might kind of end. And through doing the Keep Your Distance show with Transit Media and Kev on stage, met them, connected with them, the space. Kev would be the producer. Transit would make the thing. And it all came out in November. And very happy with it and very proud of it. And I was thinking I would promote it again because last night, Melissa joined me as I did a show in what I refer to as a recycling center. It looked like
by day, yes.
By day. Mm-hmm. It made the lot that we did our special at look like a Four Seasons and not a Rudy Giuliani Four Seasons, an actual Four Seasons. So
it had barbed wire, high fences.
Yeah, all the things that I'm used to.
Lots of gates.
Check that special out. And finally, last thing to promote, we are planning 2021 backyard tour dates right now. So if you have any interest in me coming and doing shows in your backyard, go to dustinnickerson.com/backyardcomedy. And we got a little FAQs there if you guys have any questions about what that would look like. And then a little form you can fill out to, just to inquire to see if it worked out. We're going to do a lot of those this year. And I hope you guys check them out. And in addition, we'll do some, Lord willing, some indoor shows as well. So that's it. That's all I have for business. Do you have any business that you want to cover, Melissa?
I do not.
How are you? Or how are your spirits? Have you found that we've been talking a lot about fighting in our relationship? Has that helped you in our fighting to be better at it? Or like more or better or worse at it? Or have you been more mindful of it? Or I feel like we do. Who was it that had the bit? Was it Tom Papa or Don Friesen who had the bit, like, or Gaffigan that said, "It feels like we're always working on me."
Kind of feel like that was Friesen, but I'm not sure.
It's hard to say. There's so many bits and so many comedians. Yeah. I do feel
that's hilarious.
I feel like we're currently in a season where we are talking to both a lot about each other, but there has been a lot of analysis of Melissa and Melissa's stress and Melissa's how she handles conflict poorly and how she handles, I don't know if you've been more mindful of that, if you've been thinking about that.
No, I have definitely. I think they're, COVID parents are under a lot of stress right now.
Yes, very much so.
It's like, having little kids is like being in a pressure cooker, right? And then having these school age kids.
Is that like
who
an air fryer?
An instant pot, right?
Instant pot. Okay.
Everybody knows, like, I handle stress poorly. I kind of thrive on it. I'm just always stressed.
Yeah, you kind of have a baseline of it.
I enjoy,
running on a baseline of Advil
busy,
and stress.
Stress. Yeah. And so I know I'm stressed because of jaw pain, because I grind my teeth at night.
I had to get fitted for
a mouth guard, and I'm counting the 4 hours down every when I can take more Advil. Mm-hmm. That's when we know tension is high.
Yes.
So that being said, I'm trying to manage my stress because I don't want to, ruin my family.
It's not that bad.
I have all this. I have to teach my kids basically. And so at least a couple of them, with homework and test prep and all that. And I don't want my stress to run off on them.
Sure.
Because that doesn't help anyone.
Yeah. When we were talking about how you feel like you have even when you're not stressed, you find something to be stressed about.
Yeah.
What do you think's up with that? I mean, this is some real, you've heard of armchair philosophy. This is beanbag chair psychology. That's
counseling.
What we're, armchair philosophy. This is beanbag chair therapy.
Yeah.
We were talking about that because I posted a picture because yesterday was our 19th Valentine's together. So I posted a picture and you were like, we were kind of joking about your smile. And you're like,
I look relaxed.
And I was like, but you weren't. You've never been relaxed. I've never known a relaxed Melissa.
Well,
we went to Kauai for 5 days. On the third and a half day,
I kind of chilled out. By which
this was years ago. We didn't go there recently. We tried.
I. I learned I was scared of heights. That's right. What I did. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let me focus here. Your question was about stress.
You kind of have a base, almost like it's almost like, well, you kind of need something to be stressed about. Here's what you told
me. You know how comics love the stage. They love the immediate approval and validation and the hype of the crowd and the energy. And I realized that I love that too in a different way.
Okay.
I just love like full sensory experiences. So like I love the arts, you know, I love being around artists. I love the energy of a indoor comedy show.
An important clarification.
Who doesn't love the guy on the mic, you know?
Hey. I mean, he doesn't love himself, but that's you know
that
who doesn't
comes
love
with the package.
Yeah, you know who doesn't love the guy on the mic, the guy on the mic.
So anyways, COVID taught me at least like that is something that I love and I miss, and maybe that's a good thing to take away for a bit.
Right.
To be like, all right, but you know, boring normal life is good too.
Right, right.
So I know that, because what I'm saying is I think I can be addicted to the energy of stress.
Yes. Well, that's
I love excitement and big emotions.
Yes.
And I like eat that stuff up,
yes,
you know?
Yes, you do.
So there is part of me that's like, you don't have to be worked up.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's what I was going to say was, do you desire to be less stressed? Because I don't know that you do. I don't know that you wake up and you're like, I want a drama-free day today. I think you like the drama of it, and so you just kind of stir it up
like
a little.
Something will happen, and I will react emotionally.
Yes.
And then I have like 10 other agendas. Like, I'm connecting plot points like X, Y, Z, and then this could be tied in, and maybe we could work on this.
Right.
And it makes sense to me, but it doesn't make sense to anybody else.
No.
And none of it is necessary at all.
I get it, because it's hard to know, you know, when you're dealing with another human, you're like, you're trying to get two supercomputers synced, and that's like impossible.
Yeah.
Like, so when we are driving back from LA today, Gloria called and it was an accident. And you knew it was an accident.
I did.
And then you're like, I don't want to talk to Gloria for this last half an hour of the drive. And then 10 minutes later.
Uh-huh. And you're like, answer it. It's your daughter.
Yeah.
You know.
And I understand what you. And then 10 minutes later, you just got on your phone and started reading something. And you went quiet for like 10 minutes. And I was like, I thought you wanted to talk. You just got on your phone. And I'm driving. I can't get on my phone.
I know.
And then you. And then you snapped back pretty hard, because that is a bit of a soft. Either of us, that is a thing in marriage that you can start a fight real quick, like you're always on your phone. But what I'm saying is, like, I do that a lot too, where like I say a thing and then I act in a different way, or like you think your brain is like, we're talking about this, and my brain's like, but I'm thinking about this. Like, to get them in sync is a real challenge. So you react a certain way, or you're stressed in a certain way. That could be because you're about like, it's about like 11 other things, or in your words, you know, 10 other agendas that you're trying to push. And I'm like, Melissa, what was the one, what was it? Like 2 or 3 days ago, I came into the bedroom/home office and asked you something, and you like shut down, and it was a very low stakes question. What was it about? It was,
I don't know.
You do, because remember that you put your feet up and you just tilted your head
back. Oh yeah, I died. Well, that was about golf, wasn't it?
No, it was about, it was a scheduling thing. Oh no, it wasn't about golf. It wasn't exactly really.
I'm preparing tax forms, which is.
No, you had not even started working yet.
Tricky.
You weren't at that point. You
okay.
I came in and.
Oh, it was Friday.
It was I was pitching I was like, hey, what do you think about me and my dad driving separate? I think this was the conversation. And then at the
end. If I remember correctly, this was you were going to go further north to get a better deal on the golf.
Oh, yeah,
round.
On the golf. Yeah.
So I gifted you golf for Valentine's Day.
Right.
On Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was very kind of you, because I'd asked about it a couple weeks earlier, and your words were, I would love to give that to you, like, but not, let's, like, talk about it. And I was like, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, well, you have friends that golf every Friday.
Yeah,
right
it
now.
Wasn't a demand. Yeah. It wasn't, I have friends mm-hmm. that golf every day, you know?
That's
like,
true.
I don't,
but, like, in
locally.
Our back of the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back of the woods? It's fine. I don't like when people correct you when people use phrases, but the, but anyways, and you like went spiral immediately, and I was like, oh, we're just chatting this through, like I'm, and I yeah. like, but it was, but that's an example I think of where you're like, you know, like you say a thing, but it, don't mind our dryer in the background there, but it triggers 10 other things, which
yeah.
is,
mm-hmm.
I already gifted this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just going to want to play more? Why are you going to be gone so much longer? This is going to be harder for me.
Is
you
this,
know,
is this when I said my great line?
What was your line?
I've been burned by golf before.
I've been burned by golf too many times.
Yes.
You're so dramatic. I golf like 4 times a year. Max. Locally, I golf 2 to 3 times a year.
I do think you golf more when you're on the road, which is, it doesn't affect me. It's fine.
I've been burned
if there are golf wives out there.
Golf widows is what they call them.
Yeah, back me up here.
I'm not, but I'm not a golfer. I don't play regularly. That's my point. Like, I do this. You do,
I know, but I don't have anything I do for 8 hours
you do,
in one day.
You shop. You
I don't
do,
shop. I shop like the day after Christmas.
And
usually, that's what I ask for Christmas.
And that's what I'm asking for. Like, that's what I'm saying. We do. I maybe do that one more time a year than you. Maybe.
No, but I would never miss a meal because I make the meals.
You do miss the meal when you've done that. Like when you go with your mom and stuff.
I still make dinner. You get home after dinner.
That's not true. That's not true. That's,
if it's 8 hours, if you're
see,
driving to
you're
North
feeling,
County,
you're feeling not
and you're
thinking
driving
here,
everyone
Mel-
home.
You're feeling not thinking here, Mel.
As you do,
Melissa. It's incorrect. You've had some shorter ones. Like this year has been a shorter one, but you've had like your traditional.
I don't
once
do
or
spa
twice
days,
a year,
and that's what the equivalent.
The equivalent is
the
yeah.
equivalent is. Spa day to
right.
golf.
But what I'm saying
and
is for the backseaters that I want you guys to listen to here is I don't do this a lot. I am not a golfer.
I know. And it's something I gifted you.
I golf a few times a year locally, max. And it's usually like Christmas and
your
Father's Day. And
Father's
this was
day.
An extra one
yeah.
and that I had asked uh-huh. about. So all that to say, that type of statement sounds like the statement of someone who this happens every weekend. And you're like, you're asking again.
And I'm like, no, I have been burned by golf before.
And in
but I'm very dramatic.
Then that's the point. It's
yeah.
that it is a big ask and it is a sacrifice. And I knew that. And I very delicately set that up and talked about. But when I was chatting, like in my mind, I was like, this is a low stakes chat. I've been using that phrase a lot with you. Like, this is low stakes. Like, if you just say, no, I prefer you to play. And that's what you said. You're like, I would prefer you to spend more money.
And stay closer.
And stay closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to go in my head, don't say what you want to say, which is just say that. Because you
yes.
hate when I say
uh-huh. And then moms, maybe this rings a bell, but if you have kids and you leave on a trip, it's a lot of prep because you're prepping all the things.
That was the
you're
thing.
Washing all the clothes,
yeah.
you're packing, you've planned out their
right.
food,
right.
you've listed instructions
the
for
next day,
them,
the
for
next
the sitters.
Day, we were going to go to, you know, L.A. for a day and a half or so.
Yeah.
Which
and
was
I,
lovely. It's great.
I juggle all this, like, they call it the mental load,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
moms carry and do all this stuff.
Right.
And I get so overwhelmed with it. That I my brain is saying, just don't go on a trip. It's
yeah.
not worth it.
Yeah, yeah, there's a famous story of Melissa. We were about to go. She was packing up to go to New York, and she almost canceled.
Yeah, I was like, I can't even wake up for the flight. And I mean, I have so many details.
Yeah. Well, okay, so.
So, yes.
Were you
like
this
stress.
As a child? And did this cause conflict with you and your parents? And your because... When I first came into the Hoagland family.
Yeah, that was a stressful time.
Your mom
yeah.
said, warned me that Melissa is very strong-willed. Like, I
uh-huh.
just a heads up.
Yeah.
Melissa is very strong-willed.
She's a lot.
She's
she
a lot.
She didn't say that, but
I mean, she wouldn't have used the, as what she said was more helpful, which I've been with you. I was like, I'm aware of this at this point. And that was, she, that was, it was the closest, it was, that's not even a negative thing to say. A strong will is a
long term, it's very positive.
Which, so were
non-conforming.
You,
non-conforming.
It sounds like you were always stressed and or combative.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you remember fighting with your siblings? Do you remember fighting with your parents?
I was the most, I had the biggest personality, I guess you would say, in the home.
Of the Hoagland Four. Yeah.
Yeah. My, I don't know. I mean, my brother is brilliant and I mean, like shown on, proven yeah. on tests. He's brilliant. And he's also very mild-mannered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and non-combative.
Yes.
So he was my older brother.
Yeah, unless it's like a debate.
Yeah, but he would still remain level-headed.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's not an emotional thinker.
He's not particularly
thinker,
emotional. Sure, or, yeah.
People will get on me for saying emotional thinker. He's a, you know, he's a, oh, gosh. Come on.
I don't.
You got to help.
He's even keeled. Your dad, your brother is even keeled.
Yeah, and he's just really smart. I can't think of the right
real
word.
Real smart guy. You know. He's an intellect.
Intellect. That's what I was trying to say. And then 3 years after me came my twin sisters, mm-hmm. and they are really close, the two of them.
Yeah.
And I was like their mother hen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And
you're feeding them your
everything. Yeah. Not that my parents weren't meeting their needs, but I was like kind of a third parent.
Sure.
Just, you know, pitching in,
mm-hmm.
as you do at 2.5.
So do you remember fighting with them or with your brother? Do you ever, did you and John
a
ever?
A little bit, but not really.
No. Okay.
I'm not saying we didn't fight. You know, yeah. you can definitely just blank those memories out. But no,
do you have
we,
any memory of any fight with them?
I,
though? Any argument?
I slapped one of my sisters once on the face.
Which one?
Sarah. I was lower elementary and I remember she was so sweet. She didn't even tell.
Oh, little Sarah.
And I wasn't, it's not like I was mean to her.
Yeah.
I loved her and I didn't bully my little sisters.
Yeah.
You know,
you slapped her one time.
I slapped her
Do
once.
You remember why?
No.
What led up to the slap?
No.
Okay.
And my sisters would fight a little bit more.
Yeah,
but
you would
it
expect
was,
that from twins, right? They would have
twins. That's just they're on the same like wavelength.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. you don't get between twin fights,
right?
Like, they're just.
I think I
close.
Witnessed early on some high school some twin fights. You know, but I never.
Yeah.
Compared to the dysfunction
no,
I
no
come from, I was like, this is some yeah. Leave It to Beaver family stuff.
And. I did have that older sister, like, I could wear their clothes, but I might give them a hard time if they want to wear mine.
Sure. That's funny. That's hilarious.
That older yeah. sisters will get that.
Yeah.
So the siblings, we didn't, of course, we, you know, quarreled, but overall, everybody was, besides me, were pretty, like, even keeled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
besides me. So when your mom said you're strong-willed, does she mean towards the you and your dad, her and your dad?
Yeah, I don't think I so much questioned everything.
Yeah.
But I was not afraid. They're going to die. They listen to this. I didn't breaking rules and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't bother me. So I was a shock to them because if my brother was first, right? They're like, man, we're nailing this parenting stuff. And then I came
along
and I was just
Melissa.
A tyrant. Yeah.
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 Do you remember arguing with them?
Well, we didn't argue very much.
Yeah.
We would, an issue would come up and then we kind of all go quiet and go do our own things.
It's like you guys would, what do you mean? Like you would, there would be
like,
tension.
There'd be tension and then we let the tension sit and then we just ignore it.
I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess.
I mean, but I definitely ruffled feathers and I mean, I don't know. I feel guilty, honestly, saying this, but we had a Christmas Eve that I decided to tell my parents that I was going to be an artist.
How old are you at this point?
I was home from college.
Yeah.
From getting my business degree.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm switching to graphic design. We're on our way to Colorado via road trip.
You told him this in the car? Because obviously I'm in the relationship at this point.
I have to tell them over Christmas.
Are we engaged at this point? No, we would get engaged a couple months later, right?
I guess I don't know. This is probably my freshman year of college, I guess. Or my sophomore year.
No, you switched sophomore. I thought we were married when you switched majors.
No, we got engaged right after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm getting married and I'm going to be an art.
Well, I wasn't comfortable marrying a business major, but now that once you decided to be an artist, I'm like, now I'm in.
So that was, you know, my parents both have math degrees,
mm-hmm.
and my dad's an engineer. My mom is a teacher.
Yeah.
So they were like, what?
Yeah. And then, your brother's got the math mind.
My sisters has it too.
Yeah. And they're like,
there's a lot of teachers and
like, this girl
math brained
just
folk.
Came home
and then
from college
I'm in this family
that we're paying for and said, I'm here.
Yeah. And it's Christmas Eve and all the other siblings are dead quiet.
Yeah.
We're eating dinner and I'm like, why can't I switch my degree? And I'm like, well, I'll go pay for it.
Yeah.
I'll switch schools and go pay for this. And that was not the first time that I
that's
you know,
a good example of the type stuff where you were like, I'm going to do something different than what you guys probably want me to do.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to do it.
I'm telling you
that I am doing it.
I'll do it with or without your blessing.
Right.
I'd prefer to have it.
But
you know, at the end of the day, I'm the only kid that didn't go to the same college.
Right.
All other three siblings went to
the master's college and you went to Seattle Pacific. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's telling.
I was a little bit of an odd, I don't know.
Just, yeah.
I think I've explained myself.
Yeah.
Enough.
So there was definitely conflict as every home has.
But you go like, that's like a Christmas movie plot. You know, like, why would you do that to your family on Christmas Eve? But
right, and in hindsight, compared to a lot of families, like switching a major, pretty low key.
Yeah,
you know, not
yeah,
a
every
huge.
Every family is going to respond to that.
It's all relative. So,
yep.
My sister and I. Sorry, I have one sister. Mm-hmm. I don't. I feel like we all fought when we were young and then we just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Like I remember my early elementary years fighting with my sister a lot
mm-hmm.
and arguing a lot, not every day or anything like that, but just sibling stuff. 'Cause siblings just know how to hurt each other mm-hmm. and know how to, and my sister was also, you know, older and bigger than me.
She's
and
like, yeah, 4 years older, right?
4 years, 3.5 years older.
Uh-huh.
And then, and, you know, and then in middle school, this is a famous Nickerson story where she was like bullying me and I had hit puberty and had started wrestling and like she like kind of like was messing with me and I put her in like a head and arm slam choke, like I slammed her to the ground. And she never did it again. And
that was it.
That was it. And you're like, oh, Dustin's a young man now.
Uh-huh.
You know, like this is not, he's not my little punk brother, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely remember the occasional thing with my dad, but not a lot. It was more me and Jess. And then, but I remember Jess fighting with my dad a lot.
Yeah, they're great now.
We're also great. You know, me and my dad and my sister are a great hang and we all totally get along. And, mm-hmm. you know, but there were some, my dad and my sister had some patchy years. But what would you expect? You're a single dad
mm-hmm.
raising my sister who is very smart
mm-hmm.
and is very, here's the thing, like my, my poor dad, like, he wanted his kids to be like educated and well spoken, and we are. And so we destroy him in arguments. Like debating with me and Jess, not a good time. And and so we would, I remember we would like call him on like very rational things. And he, it would just like, I remember being like, we've won. We've, and like I do with you now, like we've, we've won this argument, you know, like we've made the most valid points. We're presenting our case. The jury would side with us in this. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, he's the dad. So, but I remember Jess and my dad having some, but then when we, and this happens in our family, mm-hmm. when Jess and my dad would fight, I would say something to Jess when she got in trouble. Yeah. I would do some snarky, mm-hmm. like, oh, well played, Jess, or something like that.
Right.
And then now we're all fighting.
You're like, hey, I feel left out.
And my dad's like, why would you make things worse? And my sister is like, I'm going to kill you. You know, but it is so satisfying to watch your sibling get in trouble. I feel like our kids revel in that. I feel like our kids, and we've talked to them about, you know, don't delight in, you know, the misfortunes of your sibling. But they, Joel and Gloria, love when the other one gets in trouble. Right? Am I wrong on that? I feel like they
you're
like,
more perceptive than me.
Well, they're like, yeah, you're, all you see is what you're going through. Yeah. But they really like, if I'm in this back room, you know, lecturing Gloria or issuing out a punishment, Joel will sneak into view in the door. So he can make eye contact and like mess with like.
Well, they know. Do. They play a lot.
No,
with
no,
each other in the faces.
And then you know, yeah. like, he'll make some face. Yeah. Like Gloria, ha ha, you're
Gloria
in trouble.
Do it to Claire.
And then Gloria yeah. will rage.
Yeah.
Because now it's yeah. embarrassing too.
The sibling that eggs it on.
So
yeah.
let me ask you this: do mm-hmm. you feel like, and I think I know the answer to this, and then I'll answer it the same. Do you feel like our Nickerson household has more? Or less, or the same amount of conflict as the Hoagland household, as your household growing up?
Probably more.
Right.
Yeah. Not that there wasn't conflict.
And why do you think that is? Is it because we're so outspoken as
yeah.
a group? Like, we have mm-hmm. 5 for 5, none of them, none of...
We don't have any quiet children.
We don't have any, not one person in this household, you know, other than my dad, is soft-spoken, quiet, or likely to hold back what, and likely to not say what they feel.
Right.
Every mm-hmm. single one of us is like, this is how, to a fault.
Yeah.
This, mm-hmm. this is how I feel. Here's my uncensored response.
Yeah. Well, you've always like had a mouth on you too.
No.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I don't think I was ever mouthy to my dad, but I do think I was mouthy to my sister. Mm-hmm. Why do siblings fight like that? Is it just because they're so...
They're close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When does it... Do you feel like they grow out of it? And do you
yeah,
think ours will
think
ever?
Because
our kids, I told this to them the other day. This is my official on our when our kids fight right now, because this is when you they look to the parents to solve the issue. And mm-hmm. I've said this to them probably yeah. 20 times in the last 2 weeks where I say, like, I can't mediate every little issue.
Right.
Because I don't know the facts of the case.
Yeah.
I don't know who said what when. Mm-hmm. I don't know who started mm-hmm. this. I don't know why it happened. I didn't witness any of it. And so I don't know who's in trouble. It's a lot like in football, this happens a lot, where the second guy, like there'll be an altercation.
There's an instigator.
And the second guy gets in trouble because uh-huh. somebody says something and pushes him, but the ref never saw that. And then the guy hits back and he gets in trouble. Because
yeah.
he, and that happens yeah. a lot. And I mm-hmm. try to stay out of that, where I just say to them, like, I don't know. I can't be the judge of this case because I don't, you guys have to kind of just work this out for
right.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them that. And I also like told them recently, like, it's boring. I'm bored of your fights because you, if you're always fighting, it's like change the channel. Like, it would be nice sometimes if you guys just switched it up and were kind to each other.
Right.
I would love a little variety where just for 20 minutes, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do a selfless act.
This one of my favorite things, this is about whining, but one of my favorite things that you do is you say, oh, we're saying what we want
yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah, this is a favorite.
This is a fun exercise to go, oh, what We're saying what we want.
Somebody
now.
Will come in and they'll say, I want this. I want this. Well, I want to have more screens, or we want to have screens on weekdays.
I want a sleepover.
I want to have a sleepover, whatever it may be. And they I immediately go into, all right, everybody, we're doing I wants.
And then we're like, we want to sleep in.
We have to just say ridiculous things that we know are not.
Never buy groceries again.
Yours recently has been, I want no jaw pain. You're really on it.
Yeah, I'm really.
You're going for it.
I do want that.
You want no jaw pain. And I recently have been doing, I want grateful children.
That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of asking for the moon.
Which is the best. Yeah. Because the kids will be like, what do you want for your birthday? Or, you know, you're like, I want grateful children.
That's all I want. All the time is I just want just some kids that are really, really grateful for what we provide for them and have great perspective.
What they have.
So what I really want them to be grateful for is for their Gab phones. And you knew I reached for my laptop, so you saw that coming.
No, guys, I didn't.
Oh, there you go.
Listener emails.
Well, let me take a break real quick and everybody tell you about our sponsor who we're so grateful for, Gab Wireless. Guys, one thing that is certainly a point of tension is phones.
I think that's in every home.
I would say all the time. You know, it's hard to get our kids off their phones. It's hard to get Melissa off her phone while we're driving. It's, you know, and
I'm advocating for our schools reopening.
Melissa, I'm gonna have to give you're gonna have to get a Gab. And you guys, if you're not familiar with Gab Wireless, we are big fans, and we have two of them in our home. Our two oldest children use them, and it's everything you want on a phone and nothing you don't want. They can text on it, they can listen to some radio, they can do a GPS on the newest ones, they can call. Just the basics. No social media.
No internet.
No internet access. It's it. It's just some basic. It's what our phones used to be. And they have a way still, like, they have a social outlet where they can still talk to their friends. We're big fans of Gab Wireless. And if you guys want $10 off of your order, all you have to do is go to gabwireless.com/promo/Dustin or go to gabwireless.com and use promo code Dustin at checkout. That link is also available in the episode description, and check that out. Big fans, everybody. Check it out. Gab Wireless. Save phones for kids.
Yeah.
I
was going to just say that. I think siblings can be very competitive.
Yeah.
Which can lead to more fighting.
Yeah.
You know, and tattling and stuff.
Yeah. I do find myself a lot trying to be mindful of that, of being like, you know, like, are we showing the kids an equal amount of praise and attention? And, you know, like, you don't want to.
Always side with one of them.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's important for the big kids for them to see Claire get in trouble.
Or she has chores too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really hard to give your youngest kid chores. I'm not going to lie.
It is because it's not helpful, and it's like more work to supervise them doing it. You know, it's a nightmare. Oh, gosh.
You're like, I can't.
I can't oversee this. and you're gonna redo
and
it anyway.
Motivated.
Oh gosh! By the time it's not even the third child. It's just once you determine it's your last child, Lord willing, you know,
your will to try is just low.
Let me ask you this: do you worry that our kids fight too much, or that we fight too much with them, or do you feel like it's okay? This is normal, do you worry that they're gonna be damaged?
Studies. You know, smart people, here we go, say that once you start yelling, your kids have tuned out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yelling is not ideal and that it doesn't accomplish much.
Right.
But that's much easier said than done.
Yeah. And define yelling. I mean, truly, I mean that just as a joke and sincerely.
Yeah.
Because... Mm-hmm. You sometimes are like, you're just lecturing the kids. We'll say that. I was like, well, what's the difference between a lecture and a lesson? Because I think they feel and sound the same.
Yeah.
You know, because like, I understand that you're telling me that sometimes people are like, oh, you're lecturing your kids. Like, I'm talking to them about being grateful and trying to give them some perspective. You know, like sometimes when they, you know.
Sometimes you have to go, oh, Dad's serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
For you to like. Snap out of it.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, and I will say, as though, because we yell, but we don't yell a ton. a lot of the time when we do yell, or if it's like very panicked, it's like a safety related issue.
Yeah, that's completely different.
Yeah. And you're like, I need this to get through. But you do, I do think that the one thing that all humans in this household have in common is they all have a point where you're no longer communicating with them.
Yes.
Like they're just they're just kind of taking what you say, like like you're like punching a limp body, or like they're passed out, like you know, like you know, I mean, it's a bad metaphor.
Well, it's like nothing good is going, no progress will be made,
right, which is hard for me because I want resolve.
You don't like strained.
I don't think to being like pending, like what you described of what your family did.
That would have been so hard
nightmare,
for you,
an absolute nightmare for me. It's the it's so like when we. Like, I like to, I don't like my kids being mad at me. And so, like, I don't like anyone being mad at me. How can I make you happy? Right? That's, like, how I live my life. And so, it's hard for me to, like, discipline the kids and then walk away and not come back, like, 2 minutes later and be like, everything okay? Okay, I take it back.
Yeah.
You know?
Whereas I can, like, stew over a feeling, like,
forever, a lifetime.
Forever.
A lifetime. There's no,
too long.
There's no, that warranty doesn't expire with you.
So, Joel's 13, and developmentally, that's like a very argumentative age for boys.
Yes.
Because they're trying to become adults.
Right.
And
trying to get that independence.
Yep. And so when he starts arguing back, like, I don't know, like, to some degree, we're just like, hey, we already told you what to do.
Right.
Just, yeah, we're done.
Right.
We're not going to get on that. Roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes you can't, you have the opportunity to end it pretty quick. Earlier, so we needed the bedroom here, and I come out and I go, Gloria, I need, you got to go to the front room, and because we need to record back here. And she goes, she's like, oh, do I have to? I want to be back here. And I just go, I've already told you what to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to say. There's no discussion.
Yeah.
You need to leave.
Debate. And
there's no
fight.
Argument.
Yeah.
If you want to turn this into an argument, I sometimes do the thing too, and I don't know if this is helpful. I want your take on it because I, you know, if I yell at the kids, I spiral and I'm like, oh, well,
feel shame.
I'm a terrible parent and it's going to find out. Everyone's going to find out that I'm a terrible parent and these kids are going to write books about how their comedian dad was abusive. And
verbally.
It's going to be, I'm going to be...
I can't believe your brain goes that way.
Yeah,
just because mine doesn't.
It goes so bad. So
fast.
I'm going to be, what was the, who does the Christmas songs, but was a terrible dad?
Terrible dad Christmas song.
Who does
on
all
the internet?
No, who does all the Christmas songs back in the day?
Bill Crosby?
Bing Crosby.
Bing, yeah.
Terrible father.
Bill Crosby.
Everybody, Bill Crosby.
I'm a wordsmith over
Bing.
Here.
Bill Crosby is the merge of
Cosby.
It's the merge of two monsters
yeah.
who were very well perceived publicly,
who
but
publicly
had terrible
like,
private lives.
Wonderful dads,
Bing Cosby or Bill Crosby. Just the worst mashup. But yeah, his kids were like, dude, this guy was like abusive. He was, you know, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll be that. Even though I read the stories, I've never done anything like that to our kids.
Right.
But like, I'm going to find out and this will be right as my career really takes off. And then my kids are going to do tell-alls about how terrible. Because I go, oh, they don't remember. They won't remember how I would play on the trampoline with them for 2 hours. They'll remember. All they'll remember is when I yelled at them for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, like that's all. And so I go there. But I one thing that I say to them that I wonder, like, is this like helpful or am I like doing more damage, you know, when I say this is like the I didn't ask, I told. Like sometimes when you're like you deal in that like black and white.
Yeah.
And am I being helpful? Like because I'm in the nature of like who I am, my type of work, I also say things like when they're being super ungrateful, like, well, I want to have more screens on a Saturday or you're yelling at me because of that. I go like, oh, well, go put that in your letter to our compassion child. Which I don't think compassion would be thrilled to know that I use that as like, but I'm trying to give them
the
perspective.
The point is gratefulness and perspective.
And this is and this is the real one that I wonder, like, do I need to stop saying this? And I'm sure some therapist would tell
me. I know.
When they like do something and that they get in trouble for and then they start arguing and they're mad at me, I say, don't get mad at me, get mad at yourself. And when I've said that enough times to where I'm like, ooh, should I be saying this? Like, I don't, but I, but the point is, like, you're frustrated at me that, well, I'll just give you the example. Gloria, recently, we came back here. She had a bunch of chocolate chips she had snuck. And they're like, you snuck these recently. And she's like, I mean, it was like months ago. And we're like, we clean this room.
You vacuum like once a week.
We're like, okay, well, and then we're like, how long ago was she? She's like, it was like probably like a couple days ago. And he's like, you just said it was months ago. She said, I said it was like months ago. And I was like, okay, so you snuck and you lied, which you have huge issues with anyways, of sneaking and lying. And then she starts yelling as I start giving her consequence. She's furious with me. And I'm like, don't get mad at me. Get mad at yourself for doing these things. Like, yeah. I'm not your problem. I didn't create this issue. If you didn't sneak these things, this wouldn't be happening.
If you clean up your sneakiness.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
But there's probably some like family therapist listening to this like, oh, yeah, no, you are going to be Bing Crosby because
no, well,
or even worse,
shame
Bing Crosby.
Shame is a very powerful motivator.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, shame can be great.
Yeah.
To get what you want short term.
Well, I mean, it's but, like, it's why people hit their kids. It's the same idea. Like, if you need your kid to like immediately just scare them.
Jar them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Scare them.
No, I try, I do it and I try not to. It's the I don't care.
And I know. I know.
That is a hard one because I do care, but I don't care about all the teensy tiny little.
I don't care about their.
I can't care about everything.
I don't care.
Mom has a capacity.
I don't care about every little thing that they want. I care about them as a person. And that's what we're trying to communicate.
And their character.
They'll come in and they'll be like, well, my friends can't get on till later. And then I'll say, I don't care about that. Like, that
we have said that. We've said, like, we don't care about your gaming career.
No. Well, we also don't care
like
I
a video game career
because gaming is very social now, and so they they want to line it
in
up.
COVID.
I was like, I don't care when your friends are on; that doesn't affect me, you know.
Yeah, COVID only makes that worse.
Oh gosh, terrible parents.
But I actually, one thing that I've learned in the last couple of years is that holding your boundary is the discipline.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like by not changing it. Mm. So. They can be as upset and protest as much as they want, but if you don't change the boundary that you set as a parent,
right.
Then you're actually like showing them so much consistency.
That makes sense.
So that's where the like I don't want to argue about this with you because I've already set this.
That's a lot of
as
what
parent,
it is. I'm just
you know?
What I'm trying to communicate, and I guess it is like I'm not going to argue with you guys about this because this isn't really
my mind is made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guys,
but that's kind of that 50s stuff.
Yeah,
like the. Father knows best. Like,
yeah,
you
but
know,
we don't do
the,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a certain amount of time that like, why do I have to do this? Because I told you so. Like, there is a certain amount of time.
That's phrase that has come and gone in popularity. Yeah.
Guys, send us your thoughts at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Tell me why I'm a terrible parent or if you do the same or questions that you have, especially considering we have a licensed family therapist next week and I'm going to ask
it's
some
not
of these
me.
Things. It's not you. It is not beanbag therapy. Let's do a couple emails real quick and then we're going to get out of here. This email is from Gregory, his subject, Fighting in February. Hey guys, been getting a lot of laughs from your podcast. I'm only this year getting into podcasts because I had a smartphone until about 4 months ago. I just wanted to share a funny fight with you guys.
Get wireless?
and I'll try to keep it short. A year before my wife and I got married, we had our first son, conceived in Kauai and born in Washington. That's a great trip to Kauai. I got a job offer in my hometown of Kodiak, Alaska, so we loaded up my little Outback with everything we owned, leaving a car seat sized hole for my then 5-month-old son, and drove through Canada in February. Whew. After 3 days of driving through Canada on bulletproof ice, we were in Alaska, and I got out to relieve myself. When I got back in the car, I made a joke about spelling "Will you marry me" in the snow with my P. I have not read the email, so I'm like, this is good. I think the stress of a long drive with a baby and that joke was straw that broke the camel's back. The rest of the drive through Anchorage until we got to a friend's house was awkward. The look in her eyes was colder than the air outside, which was -15. And every 2 minutes or so, she would say that she wanted to go back to Washington as soon as we got to Anchorage, to which I would answer with, we just drove through Alcan and now we're in Alaska and you want to fly back already? The last thing she said before we got to my friend Roy's house was, Are we even compatible? To which I answered, I'm not going to answer that right now. Just give it some time. How much time? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We got to Roy's house, got out and relaxed for about, and about 20 minutes later, everything was as it should be again. We made that drive down a couple years ago, this time with our second son riding with her and her mom and my oldest riding with me. And yes, we fought, but she also took a lot of stress out on my on her mom. Thanks again for the good, clean entertainment. Greg Rose, thank you. Thank you so much for the email, Gregory.
The car fight.
Nothing like
while
it.
While moving.
Nothing like it. Thank you for that, Sharon. And last email right here. This is from Renee, and the subject is hangry. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. I've been listening for a few months, and I love the podcast. I was listening to episode 129, The Anatomy of a Nickerson Fight, and I just have to send this email. I'm not married with kids yet, but I'm taking note of the good and bad advice y'all give. When you guys mentioned how Melissa can't function while hungry, I couldn't stop laughing. I also wanted to know she's not alone. It seems like it's more common with women, but I too have this ailment, aka being hangry. Here's a story about how my boyfriend first realized the extent of it. During one of our early dates in the height of COVID, we were watching church online and he had promised to cook lunch. Well, service was dragging on a little bit. And after 1 p.m., the pastor's finally starting to wrap up. He was doing his altar call and inviting people to accept Christ. Altar call via Zoom church? Is that, did they say? That's funny. Maybe it was in person?
No, this was virtual.
This was, okay, yeah. Well, service was dragging on a little bit. He was doing his altar call, inviting people to accept Christ, but even that seemed to take forever. So I very politely to him turned to him and asked if he was going to be if he was saved. To which he replied, "Yes." Then I said, "So you've heard this before?" And he said, "Yes." Then I very calmly said, "Great. So can you go and start cooking?" He was so shocked, but also couldn't stop laughing. Nowadays, when he knows he is dragging his feet before a meal, he will ask me how I'm doing, and I will tell him how much time he has until I get hungry, and he governs himself accordingly. Anyway, I thought Melissa would appreciate that story. Thanks for your humor and honesty on this podcast, Renee.
I do appreciate that, Renee.
That is very funny.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, send emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Thank you so much for being listeners and for checking out this series. Take care, everybody.
All right, bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.